My name is Owen Thompson with the Local Journalism Initiative. To celebrate Lincoln Alexander Day on January 21st, a bust of the first black cabinet minister is being created by a black Canadian artist.
Toronto artist Quentin Versetti has been selected as the one to create the bust.
He's an OCAD graduate, artist, and sculptor from Toronto. As an artist, his focus is on Afrofuturism. With his art, he tries to pack as much symbolism as he can, which he aims to do with this sculpture. I spoke to Vercetti about his life as an artist and his relation to Alexander. We also go over why he was selected and some of the difficulties in his creation process. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Quentin Versetti, or I go by the name of Quentin Versetti. I am a visual storyteller. I dibble and dabble in many different methods of storytelling, but mainly I'm a sculptor right now, work digitally and analog sculpturing, and also I'm a fine art painter. I have a bachelor's in fine arts from OCAD University and a master's in art education from Concordia University. And beyond all that, I am very much rooted in community. All my work is meant to support community, build community. And I have an organization called Asho Sankofa Arts Initiatives, which is all about using Afrofuturism as a way to connect communities and get people thinking about the future that we want to build, that we will coexist and inhabit.
So it was recently announced that you are the one who was selected to construct and build the Lincoln Alexander bust, or the new Lincoln Alexander bust, which will be premiering on Lincoln Alexander Day. Or how were you selected for that?
Essentially, they asked me to submit, you know, a resume and just a few examples of my work. I think a lot of that came out of the success of winning the competition for the Joshua Glover Monument and all that came out of that in terms of, you know, school activities and different type of programming and a lot of news coverage here in Canada and also in the United States, because Joshua Glover was a formerly enslaved African person who came from the States, Wisconsin specifically, and came to Ontario. And so his story kind of crossed borders and is international. And so I think the success from that competition and from that creation that I made really caught the eye of the committee who wanted to make this bust. And yeah, definitely fortunate.
And how long have you been sculpting for?
I would say officially I started in 2010 during my undergrad at OCAD University. I actually went to Florence and did an exchange program there. And that's where I really fell in love with the medium and way of expressing myself. But I didn't have the means when I was back in Canada to actually explore it further until later in my career, when I became a little bit more successful and can afford some of the materials. But that's why I went into digital, because it was less costly on me. And then now I'm kind of creating a hybrid between digital sculpting and traditional sculpting.
In that higher nature that you're doing with the digital and the physical, you're combining, I guess, the newer style and the older style. So how exactly does that fit together to make this Lincoln Alexander bust?
Yeah, absolutely. So it features some 3D printing elements, but allows me to create a prototype and a maquette that can be edited, and essentially allowing it to be something that the clients can look at from all different angles and create suggestions. And then essentially some parts I will 3D print. So for example, I might 3D print the head and part of the bust, and then other parts I would actually sculpt in clay and then add that on top of the 3D print and then cast it. And so this allows me to minimize cost, but also allow me to speed up the production process. And when I 3D print, we 3D print in wax. So I then get to add additional touches to the wax. I'll carve into the wax. I might melt certain parts, et cetera, et cetera. So it's still very tactile in the end, but it just speeds up the process a lot, because then we're not casting twice, right? In a traditional process, you'll make the clay and then you'll cast it. Sometimes now a lot of people are using silicone, but essentially you have to make two casts that will then create the negative where the bronze will be poured into. Whereas this now is essentially, we're cutting out that first process and going straight to wax. And then we melt out the wax and then put the bronze in. So it's a faster process, streamlined process. And it also guarantees that the clients are super happy with what is created.
And how long does it typically take to create a bust in that newer fashion?
Oh man, I mean, I think it depends on your skill level and your experience. For me, also, it depends on the concept. I like my work to be highly conceptual and have a lot of symbolism in it. And so for me, it might range from a week to to maybe even, for example, Joshua Glover took me 44 minutes to create. That's because I just had the very clear idea of what I wanted it to look like. I had a vision, I had a dream, and then I just got up and started working on it. And exactly what I made in those first few minutes is exactly what ended up becoming the finished product.
I guess similar to the Italian, you know, sculptors who would see the image in the stone before.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
One of the big things about this bust very specifically is it being Lincoln Alexander, a very famous and very prominent Black figure in Canadian history, especially modern Canadian history. Because you also mentioned you're about pro-futurism. So mm-hmm. Why is it important for you to create something like this that represents modern Canadian Black history?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So I've been doing this audit of representation of Black Canadians in Canada for a while. As it relates to monuments, there are very few monuments actually here in Canada that actually celebrates Black representation. Across Canada, there's 20 sites that celebrates Black history and Black stories. Out of those 20 sites, only 7 of them are actually of Canadian, Black Canadians who were born here in Canada. And out of all those sites, only 5 of these monuments were made by a Black Canadian. And it just so happened that out of those 5, 2 of them, I'm the one that I was responsible for making them. And then in terms of Canadian-born artists making monuments, I'm one of 2. The other person is actually a mentor of mine, Artist Lane, who made the bust of Mary Ann Shad Carey. So the reason I'm giving you all this information is because it's a gross underrepresentation of Black history, Canadian history, and also the inclusion of Black Canadian artists in this field and practice. The reason why Lincoln M. Alexander is important is because, you know, he represented, you know, Canadian values in so many different ways. He was a veteran, he was a lawyer, and, you know, he did so many different things while he was in the politics and while he was lieutenant governor. And so he is a very important figure, not just for the Black community, but for Canadian history in as a whole. I was very fortunate to have met him as I attended a high school that was named after him in Malton, Mississauga, very briefly. But during that time period, you know, I was very fortunate to play on the basketball team, and I got to meet him at a Black History Month assembly. And that moment really expanded my way of seeing the possibility for myself as a Canadian. You know, I was like, wow, this man who's so graceful, so huge in presence, and has done so many trailblazing things. You know, the fact that he, you know, he greeted me and greeted all the students and was just so kind to share words with all of us. You know, that really spoke to who I wanted to be in the future, being able to inspire the next generation. And so for me, it's been important to create this bust because it's a way to show other young people possibilities and celebrate Canadian history that you may not be taught in everyday school.
Take me back to that day of meeting Alexander.
I used to hang out a lot in the hallways. I used to skip classes. Back at that school, Lincoln M. Alexander, there was a specific corner in the hallway that all the cool guys would hang out. Unfortunately, it's right in the sight line of when you enter into the building. So it's not really the most conspicuous place to hang out, but we thought it was cool to be like, haha, we're in front of everyone, kind of breaking the rules, you know. And Lincoln M. Alexander came for the assembly. And so, of course, he walks through the front doors and he just sees a bunch of these young Black kids hanging out in the hallway. And he just walks straight up to us and he's like, how are you guys doing? And then he looked at me specifically and he's like, I see great things in you. I was like, who is this guy? Like, it didn't dawn on me that he is Lincoln M. Alexander because I didn't actually do my due diligence at that time to look up who is the school actually named after. At that time, there was actually no images of Lincoln M. Alexander around the school. So the whole time we were at the school, and we didn't know that it was named after the first Black lieutenant governor. So it wasn't until the assembly started that someone was like, yo, that's the man. That's the person that the school is named after. And the one thing that always struck me was how pristine his suit was. Like, coming from a Caribbean background, my parents and my grandparents, they always speak about how important it is to make sure your clothes is properly ironed or properly pressed, and a huge emphasis on the seams in your clothes, right? Specifically your pants. And I kid you not, I swear, the seam in his pants was so sharp, like it would feel like a knife. Like it just was like so crisp. And I just remember like looking at his suit And I was just like, man, like he must like spray that with starch for it to be so sharp. Like it was just like, I was just impressed in just how he carried himself. And the fact that he came up to me and said what he said just stuck with me all these years. And so that was back in 2003, I want to say. Oh, it's like 2005.
And how transformative was that for you?
In the immediate, it wasn't transformative, but like later on in my life, when I looked at who he actually was and what those words did to me in terms of helping me to see a future for myself, I would say in the long term, it was definitely transformative. But in that immediate like year or so, like the following year, I got kicked out of the school for getting into trouble. So it didn't soak into my young teenage brain right away.
How poetic it is for you to be the one to be creating the bus.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. Also, like this, I have multiple connections to his family as well. My wife went to school with his grandkids and did karate with them and stuff like that. So, and then they live in Hamilton right off of the Lincoln Way. So there's a much like so many ways that I feel connected to his story. Some of the places that he traveled to in Africa, I've also been, even just reading his biography book. Yeah, just seeing so many correlations. So it's definitely, as George Lucas likes to say, it's like poetry. It rhymes. When he talks about telling a story and it echoes another story, and then you see like the similarities in characters. And I definitely enjoy being able to be a part of this. For me, with Lincoln M. Alexander's life, I see a lot of ways that our lives echo each other. And so it reminds me of George Lucas speaking about those connections.
With these connections that you have, and how you described it with George Lucas, it's like poetry, it rhymes, and all these connections you've had through to Lincoln Alexander through your wife and your own personal life, and these biographies that you've read, how is that influencing how you're making the bust?
That's a great question. So I'd say the way that it's influencing me and how I'm making the bust is I'm thinking about my future children. I'm thinking about the 15-year-old, 16-year-old version of myself who didn't really appreciate meeting Lincoln M. Alexander in that moment until later on in life. So I'm thinking about all those things and really building into the bust these nuggets, these things that would catch their attention, catch a young person's attention, but tell his story in multiple ways and showing him in the same energetic way that I felt when I first saw him and when I first met him, of being impressed with the with how he carried himself and the pride that he carried, and really wanting to portray that he was accomplished person, that he was a veteran, as I mentioned, and that he really served our country in multiple ways. So I really want to try to tell all those things in the symbolism of the bus.
I guess no spoilers on the final product, but is there one symbol that you're having an issue trying to implement into the bust?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in terms of symbols that I might be having an issue with, is his smile. He has an amazing smile. He has a very unique cheekbone structure. And so I really want to capture that smile. He's always smiling. And because I'm trying to capture him at his prime, at a specific age, in his younger age when he first became governor general, the resources are very are not as diverse as I would like them to be. And so I'm kind of imagining a little bit of like his smile in his later years on him in his younger years, So that's been a little bit of a challenge, but it's a good challenge. It's pushing my sculpting skills. And then last thing I would say is some of the awards. Like I want to represent a lot of the medals that he has. A lot of them has a lot of intricate details, and so just knowing how much to put and how much to pull back has been a challenge as well.
So you mentioned that there's not many references regarding that period of Alexander's life. Where are you getting these reference photos from?
Yeah, so again, fortunate enough that my wife knew this his family. I've been directly in contact with his daughter, his granddaughters, sorry, Erica and Marissa, and they have been giving me so many great family photos and personal photos that they've had, and all of them, his smile is just beaming. And so I've been trying to take some of those and then bring it into a little bit of this bus.
For you, when it comes to creating this bust, how long have you been working on it already?
Yeah, I haven't been working on it that long. Mainly it was just figuring out contractual things and details with Ontario Legislative Assembly and the and the parties that are involved in the project. And so I would say maybe a month or so. I've been working on it so far, and then it's going to be another month until it'll be ready to be casted.
You mentioned that there's a lot of contractual obligations and whatnot. So how much creative freedom do you have when creating this bus? Because you've mentioned a lot of your ideas and your thoughts.
Yeah, I definitely would say I'm also fortunate in that aspect because they have given me complete creative rein. They trust my vision and my approach, and the family also trusts it as well. So I've been given essentially free reins to create as I see fit. But of course, at the end of the day, they have to sign off on it. And so far they like what I've presented, so there's no issue there. I was warned a little bit not to go too far off of the Afrofuturistic element to the point where people don't think that he's a real person anymore. So I took that main feedback into consideration. But I think that's just because when people think of Afrofuturism, they think a little bit too science fiction and not in the ways of looking at the symbolism of Afrofuturism as a metaphor, as I've done with Joshua Glover and some of the other sculptures I've done.
So that's actually all of my questions. Do you have any final comments you'd like to leave off on?
I think it's amazing that I've been granted this opportunity to create the first installation of a person of Black African descent at Queen's Park. It's going to be the first installation in almost 100 years, apparently. And I hope that it's not the last. I hope it opens up more doors for other artists. I hope people are going to be inspired to think about other Black Canadian leaders and, people who have served our country and how we can also tell their stories, Black and Indigenous. Yeah, I just really hope that this really paves a way for the future. And in total, I just think that it's an amazing opportunity, and I'm deeply honored to be able to lend my gifts to my country.